extend Christian greetings to each one present here this evening again. We count it a privilege again and a blessing to gather in God's house in a land of freedom. How many of us would have been willing to gather in a forest this evening as our forefathers did several hundred years ago because they loved the Lord that dearly? I think of that, the blessing that we have. The brother shared about, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims." And it says, we are a chosen generation before that. Tonight, you and I are that chosen generation. Before we go into our message, we're going to continue on with a little story last evening of Roger and Deanne. Remember, we have found Deanne was about 15 feet from the falls, and they took her to the hospital. Tonight, we're going to find out what happened to her brother. Well, if you've ever been to Niagara Falls, you know how fast that water is going. Well, Roger was a light enough little boy, little lad. He come thundering down through there. And so many times the water, what people go with the water, that's what happened with John Honeycutt. He was heavy enough, he went with the flow and went down and was dashed and was killed. Roger flew out kind of beyond the water and he landed down in the river again. And through this mist, he's down there in this water. If you've ever been there, you see the water is very much bouncing up and down. He thinks he sees the form of a boat. You ever been had the Maid of the Mist ride? That would have been one ride I'd have enjoyed being on, is when they went up to get him. So Roger thinks he sees a boat, and Captain Clifford Beach was on this vessel for many years. And he thinks he sees something, and he looks, and yes, there's something bobbing. And he radios to another person, and he said, there's something here in the Niagara River. And as he is there, and he tries to go over toward Roger there in the water, and this little boy is there bouncing up and down, and he sees he can't get it. The water is coming too swiftly. He makes a difficult decision to go away from Roger. And this little boy was thinking, there goes my hope. But he goes around and he turns and he comes back and he comes up a little closer, hoping to rescue Roger. And as he gets closer, two men were there ready to throw out the lifeline to him. And they threw it out and it landed just a little short of Roger. This boy is there and the water is in turmoil and the rope. The second time, I think it said they lasted like five feet from him. There is safety, but I'm in the water. They tried it the third time, and he reached his frail hands inside, and they pulled him onto the boat. Can you imagine? I wonder if Roger ever forgot that feeling of coming from the water into the boat. Tonight, young people, I'm going to give you an invitation. If you feel you're in the water, I'm going to welcome you into the boat of life. That's not where they're yet. But as I think of this story, they took him to the hospital. There was a nurse on the ship, on the boat, and she came up and tried to help him. And he didn't want to take any clothes off. He was so scared. They took him to the hospital, and he had little bruises on the right-hand side of his face. It was nothing but a miracle of two little children. One went across. The other one just about did. I think they were both, Deanne was in the hospital on the American side, and Roger was in the hospital on the Canadian side. They were there for 48 hours for observation. Do you have any idea what kind of reunion that family had? It would just be an experience you would never forget. He shall give his angels charge over thee. It doesn't always work that way, but it did for those two children. God is still good. For a message this evening, let's turn our Bibles to Ecclesiastes. As I mentioned last evening, we want to try to share something for you young people. Tonight, youth, I want you to know that God loves you. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know where you are in your journey in life. But I can tell you one thing. I was where you are, and you've never been where I am. It's kind of a rude fact, isn't it? I was a youth. I was not a perfect youth. But I served a great God, and is still a great God, and he's still the same God. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. The title of the message this evening is, Where Will You Find Your Bread? So many times you as youth think life lies ahead of you. And it does. Life lies ahead of you like a field of untrodden snow. Be careful how you tread it, because every step will show. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9 says, Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee. It's a happy time to be a young person. It's a happy time to be enjoy life. But in chapter 12, verse 1 says, Remember now thy Creator. Now let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'd like to just read what is said here. Second Timothy 1, begin reading at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace be from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God from whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed preacher and apostle and teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. That's as far as I'm going to read. Here it speaks of in verse 5, it talks about the unfeigned faith, the true, genuine, and original faith. Dear young people tonight, if you want something solid in life, you must practice and believe and hold to the unfeigned faith. Because it is solid. It has stood for generations. And I can offer that tonight because I know it works. It's because it comes from the Word of God. The next verse, it talks about having the spirit of fear. There is a lot of dear young people that are out there in the world tonight, and maybe some are afraid to say, even in our Anabaptist circles tonight, that are living in fear. They're looking for something. There's a void in their life. And they're saying, I just wish I could find something that's fulfilling. I'm here to tell you, right here it is. It's like going to a glass of water, not taking a drink and saying you're thirsty. The water's there. The thirst is there. But it takes an action to make the connection. Are you connected with the Word of God tonight? Verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Young people tonight, if you have the ability to think upon Jesus Christ, you have a sound mind, and it is a tremendous blessing that you have that ability. I think of that many times. A dear bishop, a friend of mine, has passed on to his reward. But he would often pray and he thanked God for a mind that he can think upon God. And that's been a tremendous challenge to me. I like to do that every morning when I wake up. Because, you know, that is a gift. That I have a mind that can think upon God. And his greatness, I can't fathom it. But I can still think upon God. You have a choice. You have a healthy mind that you can choose. You are a candidate for the two kingdoms. It's a choice you're going to make, young people, tonight. So many times you think you're a victim. You're a person of choice. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Young people, tonight, make that choice personally. Let the cares of this life vanish away, because they are temporal. You must deliberately make a choice. Sometimes people think, well, if I don't do anything, can you be neutral? I've never seen anything in neutral to stay in the position very long, because one something will move it. And people who try to think they can live a neutral life usually find themselves on the wrong side of the hill. And you know, you must come up across that hill if you want to come back to Jesus. We have but one life. Your life lies before me, before you. My life, majority of my life, is behind me. I think I remember yet telling my family when I turned 40, I thought I was getting older then, and I was. I said, you know, it was a startling fact to me that very likely over half of my life is gone probably. And I was only 40. Well, God has granted me a number of more years. But I still think that I don't have many years left. But by the grace of God, I want to do everything I can for him in appreciation for what he has done for me. And dear young people tonight, it lies before you. Your life is in front of you. Don't scar it. I plead with you tonight. I think of a young man that I know as an older man, and I find out that he has relatives here. But as a young man who went to the 1W service, as a Christian man, he had a godly young girlfriend. And he quit that girlfriend. And he started in the wrong companionship. And he finally finds himself getting married to a divorced woman. He was a neighbor in my growing up years, a very talented man. The man is living in adultery today. And as I understand the scriptures, we know where his destiny is going to be because of a choice that he made in his youth. And I often thought of that man, what all he could have done for the kingdom of God if he had made the right choice. I can tell you another story of a young girl that I know who was a very talented young girl, very good personality, connecting with people, but who has made wrong choices, and today her and her husband are not living together anymore because she pursued the works of the flesh. And if you're going to spend the works of the flesh, you're going to find yourself out there in a cold and a harsh environment. I plead with you tonight, young people, make choices. Make deliberate choices. Life is like taking a trip. And I have discovered since I'm here that an Indiana GPS doesn't work in Virginia roads for some reason. I'm not sure what's wrong. But that's all right. We've been able to find all the places. But I'm glad tonight, young people, I got a GPS that I can represent to you that will get you to heaven if you follow it. No wrong exits, no wrong addresses. It's guaranteed to work, dear young people. Get it out and read it. Have it on your life. Let it affect your life. Read it. Meditate on it. God has established laws, young people, tonight that can't be changed. The Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? No, he can't. Life is like taking a trip. You know, as we traveled out here, I thought it'd been interesting to see how many bridges we crossed. We went through a fair amount of intersections. There was a fair amount of merging. It's all part of traveling, right? But that's the way life is sometimes. But young people, I know what it's like. When I was young, I thought it's a small thing. It doesn't matter. I'm going to read you a little story, just a little brief account. If you were instructed to guess which living thing caused the most human deaths in a year, what would you say? I'd be curious what you think they have, what it is. You think it's a snake or a bear or a lion, or what do you think it is? Mine might first go to the stories of bears mauling hikers to death and say they are the worst. Actually, in the list of the top 15, the bear does not even appear. Now, I'm not a real good friend of the four-legged bears. I mean, I consider them dead. Maybe reading books about Africa's jungles will make you blame the lion. Wrong again. It's the 13th one on the list of being dangerous. Listen carefully. The critter on the top of the list is the bothersome little mosquito, causing 725,000 human deaths each year. The bear and the lion only cause 3 in 100, respectively, 3,100 respectively. I figure you get mosquitoes here in the summertime. They're just a little thing. Young people tonight, you know why little things are so important? You know, inside of you there's a heart. And in here there's a mind. And those little things reveal what's in the heart and in the mind. Do you get the picture? And if the right content isn't there, it's not going to work right. Little things do matter. I don't know. You ever try taking a nap? You try to have a peaceful rest with a mosquito around? That's like a person trying to sleep at night with a guilty conscience. It just doesn't work. But it's so little. It's so little. You're going down the interstate, and it's 2 lanes, and all of a sudden there's 3 lanes. It doesn't really matter which lane you're in, right? And this might go on for a mile or two. It doesn't really matter. We're all headed the same direction. And we hear that expression today. We're all headed the same direction. Yes, we're all headed the same direction. But all of a sudden, there's a solid white line starts appearing. And that's saying that there's a point coming up of separation. And all of a sudden, there is a separation. And if you say, I have found myself already saying, well, I wish I wanted to be over there. I wanted to be over there. But the traffic is going. I can't make that change right then. Young people tonight, I plead with you. I plead with you. Don't run with the crowd. Make deliberate choices of your own. Know what you believe, dear young people, and why you believe what you believe. And may I go behind the young people, parents and church leaders tonight. Don't be afraid to say why you believe what you believe and explain it to the rising generation why you believe it. I feel that somewhere that sometimes we fail is explaining why we do and why we believe what we do. And then the rising generation doesn't seem to get the grasp of it. But explain to them. So from young people, so let's reverse this little thing phrase. I like playing with phrases a little bit. So if you say it's such a little thing, young people, I want you to be honest with yourself tonight. If that thing is such a little thing, evaluate that. Now, you made the statement, it's a little thing. So why, if it's a little thing, is it a hard thing for me? I don't like that thought. You know why you don't like that thought? Because in here, there's something not quite at rest. That little thing is revealing maybe some carnality. It might be revealing a little bit of a thought pattern. As a man thinketh, so in his heart, so is he. Proper performance in life is good. But a pure and a clean heart, dear young people tonight, is what's going to make the grade. That's what it takes to live a life. Tonight we want to look at some examples in the Bible. Some who came from less ideal families. Some who were tested. Some who were false accusations. We're not going to have time to look at near all of them. But let's turn our Bibles to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Samson had a godly father. He prayed to the God of heaven and he said, God, send this man of God to teach us how to train this child. But Samson, may we say, he had an outgoing personality probably. He liked being around people. And I'm going to put a lot of fill in this story tonight, and I hope you can bear with me. I'm not trying to distract from what it's saying. I'm trying to make it for us to understand. And the personalities and the traits that may show up in 2025 in the Samsons and the Delilahs that are out there today. Samson was a witty young man. Samson made a lot of friends. The 2025 Samson may be described as a young boy with his 2025 shiny diesel pickup, lights illuminating the underbody, shiny rims, tuner for more power, sound system that suited his taste, might have some air fresheners in there, and the girls are just saying, do you see that pickup? Yeah, you know, that's just it. That was the Samson that was there. But on the other side, we have this Samson looking at a girl that had a witty personality. She was bubbly. She was attractive. She was not modestly attired. She was exposing her body. She was speaking with her glowing eyes. She was not a godly woman, but they were attracting each other with temporal things. You know, all that list of things I made there tonight, all of those are void. They're all going to melt with fervent heat. You know, you can pretty well wrap a diesel pickup up and put them in a 4x4 crate. Did you know that? It takes the beauty out of it. But they're pretty frail. All of those things are. But we're human. You know, I can say honestly say tonight, boys, I was never tempted as a youth to drive a diesel pickup. Never a problem in my life. But you know why? I don't know if there was such a thing as a diesel pickup when I was a youth. But let me tell you something. The works of the flesh were just as much of a temptation to me back then as they are today. And I want to clear this. I'm not against diesel pickups. So if you want to drive an LP gas or electric or whatever, that's not the point I'm trying to bring out tonight. But boys like power. And that's why even men sometimes, we get wrapped up in power discussions. You know, we like things that have power. And girls like to see things that have power in the other side. And so they get impressed with that sometimes. But you know, as we think of Samson that night and his journey in life, there was a lot of voids there. Samson was a lonely man. Samson was a hurting man. Samson had a void in here that he was trying to fill with the activities of this world. And I'm here to tell you, young people, you can't fill them. I don't care if you want to play softball, golf, disc ball, I don't care what you want to play, that's not going to fill this void that only the peace of God can give in your heart. Things will not satisfy. God has created us in a way that the only way you're going to have peace is having a relationship with your Creator. And when you have that relationship with your Creator, this earthly things all of a sudden become strangely dim. Getting back to Samson. So he goes down there. And he gets his wife. And he's told his dad, get her, for she pleases me well. Aha, she did. Just a couple, not long afterwards, he got mad, stomped home to mom and dad. That pleaseth well was pretty short. Why? Because he was looking on the outside. He was not looking for a sister with quality. And he didn't find one with quality. The Philistinish woman of the day will try use her womanly charms to attract the boys. She may use her hairstyle to attract the boys. Attire that draws attention to her body rather cover her body modestly. With her smooth speech and flashy eyes may trap that boy. Sisters, you don't want that. You don't want that. You know why? Because if you're the person that's going to do that, and the type of boy that's going to attract is not the type that a godly sister wants for a husband. I know I'm pretty straightforward there. But dear young people, tonight, I could give you a lot more illustrations of what I gave you. of sad situations of young people that I've seen with great potential. In my youth, one of my friends today is not living with his wife because of failure of moral integrity. May I speak plainly? Failure of moral integrity that was covered up with clothing, and there was a defiled heart on the inside. And he kept it covered for years. His children basically went out to the world. Today he's in a broken home situation. It's a sad situation because of choices that they made way back then. Dear young people, the highway to holiness is a highway of purity, and you must attain to it. Samson dabbled with the Philistines, and the Philistines brought him down. He had so much fun. Now, boys, tonight, and this sounds humorous, and I'm not saying it to be humorous. I don't aim to have anybody make something funny, but it is rather humorous. But don't you think that it would impress the girls? If you go out and catch a whole bunch of fox, tie their tails together, and light them on fire, and then go out and start burning the cornfields off, that'd be pretty impressive, girls, wouldn't it? Let me tell you something. That said how hollow Samson was. He had to have activity. It didn't satisfy. Maybe he could wrestle a lion. Maybe he could do all those things. But he was a strong physical man. But inside was very, very weak. There's many more types that we could pull out of here. But look what happened to Samson. This woman that he got involved with. She starts crying. She says, if you love me, you tell me your secret. He finally told her his secret. Why did she use that tactic? Because she was not of a like-minded faith. Brethren, tonight you don't go to the world to find your wife. You don't want a Delilah. You want a godly sister. And sisters, tonight you don't want a Samson. You want a godly husband. Samson finds himself grinding at the mill with his eyes out. That is casting your bread upon the waters, and he found it after many days. What all do you think went through Samson's mind as he's grinding at the mill? Dear young people tonight, I plead with you, if there's anybody here that is struggling in life, reach out for help. I don't want to unsettle nobody, but I want to settle you down in the Word of God, because it works. What do you think, day after day? How many days did he have to grind at the mill to get his name in Hebrews 11? I don't know. I believe Samson died a saved man, but he had a hard life. So another example that we could look at, we spoke a little bit of him another night, but just briefly a point I'd like to bring out in the life of Joseph. In Genesis, I think it's about chapter 37, somewhere in there. It speaks of the life of Joseph. And Joseph's father did a very much of an injustice to him. He gave him a coat of many colors because he loved him. He should have given all his brothers that, maybe. But that put Joseph in a... He became a victim. We can say he was not treated right. I hear that today sometimes from young people. Well, my dad or my mom, you know, they did this to me. Let me tell you something, dear young people, tonight. One of the first things you're going to have to face in life if you want a victorious Christian living is you're going to have to forgive your parents for their mistakes. If you're going to hang on to them, you're going to be trapped. And there's some pretty hurting and sadful feelings and experiences out there of what has happened in home life. But I'm also here to tell you, I've seen and heard some beautiful stories of people that grew up in dysfunctional homes and how they loved the Lord and become vessels sanctified and meet for the Master's use. And that's what Joseph did. This idea that's out there, if I may fringe on it again just a little bit, this idea that's out there, some of these counseling sessions, places are saying that people are victims. I'm saying, I plead with you, leave that place if you're there and go somewhere else, because I don't have much for the victim mentality, because I personally believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our sins, and he can help those processes heal. I'm one tonight that I could give you some stories of hurts I've had in life. I think every older brother and sister here could do that. Of things that hurt us, unpleasant experiences, but we got to forgive and forget those things, and we got to go on. Joseph had many a bitter experience, and yet he went on. We have another young man. If you want to look at the heroes tonight, we don't have to go to the outside, to the sports world or anything. The Bible is full of heroes, and we're only looking at a couple. But we have another one in Daniel chapter 8. It says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Young people tonight, are you going to dabble with the king's meat? Are you going to dabble with the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the music, and all those things that they're offering out there? If you are, you're going to find Christian living very, very difficult. You know, this tells you how much time has changed. But back when I was your age, the evangelist would talk about hiding CDs. No, he didn't. He talked about cassettes. You know, that was, now you say, what's that? Yeah, that's outdated. But you know what the problem was back then? If young people got music or had things they shouldn't have had, they tried to hide it. Okay? Now, I don't think there's any young people here tonight that are trying to hide cassettes. Probably not. But is there something in your life that you're trying to hide? It's the same works of the flesh that it buzzed back there when I was a youth. That's still the same thing we have to work with. Is there a mosquito in your life tonight? Those things that you know. Daniel said, he's not going to eat the king's meat, not going to drink his wine. I'm not going to be defiled with that. Where are your gathering places tonight? What do you do for young people? What do you do for activities? And I realize that my thinking may be different than what you are here, and that's perfectly fine. I'm not offended, if I may just express myself. I think it's well, personally, I think it's well that young people have some guidance in activities. I was talking with an individual one time, and somehow the expression, comment, or something was made. Of having youth, young people activities. And I made somehow we made the expression that we have planned youth activities in our congregation, and we have people there in charge of it. Sometimes I hear of some of the situations that don't want that, maybe, and that's okay. But know what your young people are doing, parents and church leaders. Know what's happening. And young people, I've learned to know your leadership here, and I appreciate what I see here. But I think what I see of them, they want to be your friends, not your lords. That's what I see in them. So many times you feel like, oh, what of? No, they're your friends. So what you're doing, it doesn't have to be hid. Do things that bring fulfillment. Then we have another one in Daniel. We have the three Hebrews. And you know, the king came to them kind of and said, you know, didn't you understand what I said? I said, everybody's supposed to bow down. And you didn't bow down. You know what they said? We don't need a rerun of this, because we're not going to change our mind. You know, there's a lot of young people today, and I'm going to take it back a little further. There's a lot of people today that wouldn't do what the three Hebrew children did. They said, we will not bow. I'm afraid we'd have too many people today that would kind of try to compromise so they're not identified as being odd in that situation. Be willing to stand, dear young people. If you can't stand in a land of freedom, you're not going to stand in the fiery furnace. You know, we think that was a dramatic experience. It was. But those three Hebrew children made a statement that I hope every one of you young people tonight can say. They said, we fear God more than we fear the king. And if you, as godly young people, fear God, You will find out that a lot of your problems in life will melt away. Because all of a sudden, your God is going to be your friend. He's going to be your companion. He's going to be your guide. He's going to be your doctor. He's going to be your psychiatrist. He's going to help you with your emotional needs. He's going to just, and all of a sudden you say, well, how did I get here? Because your relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. Going to the New Testament, we have two brothers. And many times we talk about the one brother. We have one brother in Luke chapter 15. He said, Dad, in my own words again, Dad, I think I'm old enough, I need to have my inheritance, and I want to live it up once. I'm kind of tired of this old Mennonite lifestyle. I'd like to do something and enjoy life once. There's other things out there than rather just than serving here. So Dad gives him his inheritance and he leaves. You know the story. He finds them outside. He finds him down there eating with the pigs. That's stooping pretty low. But God in his mercy reached down and drew that brother back to repentance. That son, as he was down there, he was out there. And he said, my father, my dad back home cared for me. And in my mind, I see him walking for home. And as he starts getting closer to home, I picture a man, a father, standing at his tent door, looking out there, looking for his son to return. And as that son come closer home, and father seen who it was, there was joy. He ran out to meet him. And that's the way it is tonight, dear friends. When we find ourselves in the pig pen and are willing to turn around and come back, Jesus is standing with outstretched arms and saying, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. But you know, there's another side of this account that I think we can also get lessons from. He had a brother that stayed at home and did everything right in his own mind. He served his dad. He was loyal to his dad. He didn't do like the one that went out there. But you know what? The elder brother had an awful problem in his heart. Here I go again. But it come down to his heart. And it was revealed when his younger brother come home. When his younger brother come home, he should have been there, the third party in that, may I say, in that hugging session with dad and son. Brother, I'm glad you come home. But he wasn't. His heart was revealed by what came out. There was jealousy there. And he tells dad, I've done all these good things and you never threw a party for me. And dad says, but son, my son was lost, but now he's found. Wherever you find yourself in your journey in life, remember, God is still in the calling business. They're welcome to come back. Tonight, young people, who are your friends? What type of friends do you have? You come from various backgrounds. You come from various homes. But choose your friends. I think it's good. Now, I want you to listen carefully so that you understand my heart. I think it's good when young people learn to blend together in a Christian atmosphere. I don't think it's good for young people to learn to blend together with the offers of the world. Do you understand, young people, what I'm trying to say? You need to learn to blend in a Christian church, in a Christian young people, in a Christian youth group. You need to learn to blend there. Don't blend in with what's out there. Blend in with what's here. And yet in the same time, don't be afraid to do what is right. You know, I was a youth, and it was easy to kind of, you know, just kind of go with the crowd rather than, I didn't want to be the oddball. Well, I don't think you have to be the oddball, but I think sometimes we can just quietly and consistently do what is right. What gets your attention? Thank you for coming tonight. I'm sure there's other places you could have went. There's probably a lot more interesting places that you could have went than to church tonight, as far as you could have went out for supper, you could have had a good steak supper or fish supper or whatever. But you reveal what's in your heart when you come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Where, as you as young people, where have you set your perimeters? May I say, for the music that the world is playing. Now, I'm not just talking about music as singing. I'm talking about the noises that are out there. What is happening, I'm afraid, is that we have the world is way out there and we are here. But in between way out there and here, there's all kinds of flavors and mixtures and everything. And there's many people are saying, we are Christians, but we can do this. We are Christians as we can do this, as the old prophet did in the Old Testament. But I'm afraid, as part of a sinking ship, and I don't want to be on that Titanic when it goes down. I want to be on the safe side. And I want you, dear young people, to be on the safe side. Make deliberate choices. Ask counsel if you don't know what to do. We say those things are out there. Drugs, alcohol, tobacco, vaping. What about some of these beverages that are spiked with alcohol? You fill in the blanks. You can hinder your body. But I believe it also will hinder your walk with God. Tonight, young people, I think it's important that you know where you stand and what you believe. Let me share just a little bit. I work with the CAS project, and Selective Service has been in some of our meetings and given a talk. The Selective Service is what fills a draft for the military, and presently I think if the Selective Service would call for 100,000 soldiers, which you think that's a lot of people, it's not very many people, but they'd say they need 100,000 soldiers, they would have to call for 400,000 people to go through. Between only about 25 or 30% of the people will pass that test because of the things I just mentioned. Drugs, obesity, whatever. Their health would not make a soldier. The reason I'm telling you this is because our young people, brethren, you are targets for that very place. They want clean, upright young people. May I jump back to one of my stories I said way early about the 1W program? That's what my father was in 1W. And he said that's why some of the nurses wanted those godly young men, because they knew they were hardworking, honest men. And they snared them in and took them where they never thought they'd go. So tonight, remember your testimony, young men. Just as a side note, stir up the gift. Your faithfulness will inspire others. Now, in closing, I'd like to read some verses from Psalms 139. And could we please sing the first verse of 734 as an invitation hymn then? Psalm 139. As I think of this chapter, I know I've referred to it before, but young people, tonight is never a negative thing to be visited by God. So as you think of the first verse here, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Tonight, dear young people, do you enjoy sitting down beside God? Do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy talking to God in your prayer life? Do you enjoy reading the Bible and spending time meditating and asking God, is there anything in my life that would hinder me. I trust that's the relationship you have. If you don't, I invite you to have that relationship. Because God wants to be your guide. We say He wants to be our friend, and that's a very true statement, but it's a much more than just a friend. He's our guide, our counselor. And then we can go to the last two verses here. And we can honestly, and saying it without reserve, when we have that relationship with God, and we mean business with God, then we can say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." You know, I like this verse. I like this chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters. But the next phrase is one that my flesh melts when I read it, because it says, "Try me." I like to think I'm normal and human, but I don't enjoy trials. And yet, I have found that if I mean business with God, and I can say this from the bottom of my heart, what the trial may be, but after the trial, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. There's beauty there. So what you're facing a trial tonight, and then know my thoughts. Do you really want God to know that? I think you do. And see if there be any way wicked in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If you can honestly say that this evening, the Lord bless you. You are ready to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We don't know how much time we have. But we know one thing, that one of these days, times shall be no more. And there's two destinies. And I want us to meet together in heaven someday. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you for thy faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for thy word. And the many beautiful examples in thy word of young men who were faithful, and lessons we can learn from those who were not faithful. Lord, we pray for each young person that's here this evening, each youth. May you put your arm on their shoulder, and may they enjoy that relationship with you. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who is struggling with their walk with you, may you just draw them to you. May you continue to speak to them. May they yield your life to you. Bless the ones that are faithful and committed. May you guide and direct and keep us. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me sing a verse of song. And when we do that, if there's anyone here who would like to reach out for help, raise your hand and we'll see if someone can help you. I also will, with that invitation, I will give you the suggestion to go home and do it with your mom and dad. But we are willing to do it. Shall we sing one verse, please? Anyone wants to respond, just raise your hand. 'Thank you, Lord bless you. The invitation is still open. Something is troubling you, young people. I encourage you to talk to your parents, find rest. Together, we want to help each other through in life.